I'd like to call to order the January meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. Would like to welcome for our program to start off our meeting, the Oak Ridge High School Ensemble Chorus under the direction of Miss Amanda Reagan.
Slept many hours while the turtle passed in love.
I'm going to have to think through that a little bit now before I make any commitments. Let me just ask this question, if I could. This is, having you all here is always one of our highlights, to have you come and get us started off on the right foot. You know, we see a lot of groups come through, various choral groups, starting from the elementary age on up. How many of you were in a choral group when you were in elementary school? So we have in the past probably seen some of you here at some varying age, and that's kind of neat too, because now we begin to see the finished product and what they can become. Thank you all so much. Let's give them another round of applause. Next is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby and seconded by Ms. Agle. Any additions or corrections? All those in favor of approving the agenda signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next, under special reports and presentations, first is our good news segment. Mr. Eby.
My good news comes from Willowbrook. The Family Resource Center's Angel Tree program provided holiday joy to over 800 children in Oak Ridge during the holiday season. A lot of people contributed to that angel tree. I know as the dew sweepers, we supported that, and I thank everyone who did, and certainly thank Willowbrook for putting that together.
Absolutely. Ms. Agle.
Well, this is maybe advanced good news, but it's good news nonetheless. I've had the opportunity on a couple of occasions recently to drop by the high school and see what the robotics team is doing. These kids are learning STEM education like we never envisioned. And this is a group meeting after school, learning it on their own time and doing amazing things. And one of my colleagues tonight brought a donation. The robotics team needs to raise several thousand dollars in order to compete in the various two regionals and one world competition this year. So anyone who feels compelled to support this very worthwhile endeavor, just write a check to the Oak Ridge Wildbots and drop it off at the high school. It will get to the right place. Thanks.
Ms. McLean.
My good news comes from Jefferson Middle School. On January 16th, 13 area First Lego League teams attended the third annual Atomic City Invitation, hosted by the Jefferson Middle School First Lego League teams. Jefferson opened its door to over 100 students participating in the Trash Trek Robot Challenge. Not sure what that is, but it sounds cool. Jefferson took first place in the Master Builders contest there. Many of the First Lego League teams will compete again in the East Tennessee Regional Championship in Cookeville on February 13th. We wish our First Lego League good luck.
Ms. Marshall.
Yes, my good news comes from Oak Ridge High School. We would like to extend our congratulations to Thomas Coburn as being named a finalist in the prestigious Intel Science Talent Search. Thomas competed with 750 students nationwide and has been selected a finalist. He will go back to compete again. I'm pretty impressed because I had to even work to try to pronounce his project. So, and I will make a stab at this. He spent the last 2 years working on a project titled Enhanced Decomposition of Plastic Waste Through Photocatalysis, I believe. Okay, maybe I got the other engineers on the panel. Maybe can help me with that. So anyway, congratulations to Thomas. That is a huge accomplishment. He has done us proud. And so please hear us as we congratulate you on your success so far and wish you well in your future endeavors in the final competition.
Thank you. And that's just some of the good news that's going on in the Oak Ridge schools. I might add that in some probably good news and some not good news, I guess. We were back in school on Friday after a couple of snow days, and we got through those snow days without any catastrophes or incidents. Superintendent made the right call on each of those days, and we'll hope that that's now past us. That'll be a big hope, that, I'm sure, but I know, I shouldn't have ever said that. Next item on the agenda is what we call just the facts about Oak Ridge Schools. This is information that we hope to provide for those who are listening, that they're considering coming to Oak Ridge and bringing their students here to be part of our school system, reasons why they would want to. This year we've been highlighting each of our schools, and we'll continue to do that throughout the remainder of the year. Tonight, just the facts about Oak Ridge Schools is from Ms. Marshall.
Yes, good evening. So I get to talk about Oak Ridge High School some more. So I'm only a little biased, so it's supposed to be just the facts. It's going to be just the facts plus a little editorial from Mrs. Marshall. So it's exciting to me to get to congratulate Thomas. It's exciting to me to get to read you some of the incredible accomplishments that we share with our high schoolers. This is a high school that isn't even 100 years old yet, because our town isn't. It was founded in 1943. We have almost 1,400 students there right now, grades 9 through 12. This school has exceeded state and national averages for SAT and ACT for the last 40 years. That is something to be very proud of. We have over 60 clubs and organizations, 16 plus sports teams. When we look at advanced placement courses that are both offered and taken advantage of, 52% of our seniors, 48% of our juniors, and 21% of our sophomores take at least one AP. That doesn't, AP class, that doesn't count the kids who are taking more than one at a time. I can keep quoting you all manner of statistics about Oak Ridge High School. I'm sure you would be as impressed as I am, but I think the powerful thing to me is I've been in a place that some of us have been in, actually, around the dais here. As I look across, there are several of us that are Oak Ridge alumni, right? Yeah, we've all had kids go through the Oak Ridge High School as well, right? So it's been fun to see Oak Ridge as a former student, as the child of a former Oak Ridge High School teacher. As a parent of an Oak Ridge High School student and a future Oak Ridge High School student, and now sitting in the chair I'm sitting in, I've been impressed by lots of things over my many years on the planet, many of which have been here in Oak Ridge. I think the thing that has impressed me most has been, as a parent of an Oak Ridge High School student currently, the way I experience our staff and the Oak Ridge High School community is that our staff seems to be as invested in learning as they are in teaching. And if there were one thing that I would want to find in a high school where I would want my children to be involved and be educated and receive their own education, it would be in that type of a place where those people who are instructing the kids, who are providing that educational guidance, are as fascinated to learn what's new, what's next, what's coming, how to engage with the kids, how to get the kids excited. When our staff and our instructors have that passion, that's contagious. And I think it makes all the difference in the world between an outstanding high school and one that is less so. Now, we're not perfect. I can toot our horn all night long, and I would be happy to. But in all honesty, I'd have to admit that we've got things that we still need to learn. But the reason I, as not just a board member, but as a parent, have confidence in Oak Ridge High School is because of that learning spirit, that curious spirit, that commitment and passion for education, both as individuals and as instructors, that then gets passed on to our students. So way to go, Oak Ridge High School.
Amen. Thank you. Very, very good. Next, Dr. Borchers.
Yes, as you know, Governor Bill Haslam has declared January 24th through the 30th to be School Board Appreciation Week in the state of Tennessee. We'd like to take tonight an opportunity to thank our board members for the extraordinary work that you do for our communities and schools. You volunteer your time to take on responsibility of governing our schools with actions and decisions that affect the lives of all of our children. With that, I'd like to read the proclamation that the governor set forth. Whereas an excellent public education system is vital to the quality of life of Tennessee's communities and to the economic development of the state, and school board members represent a tremendous resource as local decision makers and diligently work to overcome the challenges of a changing world while providing students with the services and opportunities needed for a quality education. And school members strive to ensure that every student graduates high school prepared for college and the workplace. And school board members support and appreciate the efforts of students, educators, and administrators, which have led to Tennessee becoming the fastest improving state with academic performance as measured by NAEP. And the men and women of our local school boards are elected by the people to make decisions most appropriate for their communities and deserve recognition and thanks for their countless hours of service of public education in Tennessee, signed by Governor Bill Haslam. With that, before we give a round of applause for our board, I just want to again, I know I've said this before, but it's a privilege working for such a dedicated group of people that I feel is the best board in the state, if not the country, and I truly enjoy working for you, with you, as we team to do the best we can for the Oak Ridge schools. So with that, let's everybody, could we applaud our board for the work that they do.
Thank you, Dr. Borchers. We appreciate that, and thank you for that. Appreciate it very much. Next is the public forum. Public forum is for anyone in the audience who would like to address the board on a topic that is not on the board agenda. The board does not take action at this time, but may have questions, or then may direct the superintendent to work with you to provide additional information. If you choose to speak, please sign your name and address at the podium, then state your name and address. You will have 3 minutes to speak. Is there anyone who wishes to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, we'll move on to the consent agenda. There is no consent agenda, so we'll move on to items for action. The first item is board policy 5.305, family and medical leave. This is a second reading on this policy. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of board policy 5.305, family and medical leave, second reading.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borchers.
Based on the board's direction last time, Dr. Lee did, Mr. Reddick's not here, but did communicate with Mr. Reddick. They have reviewed it, and it's back in front of the board again for the second time, and you'll see a quick little summary there that Dr. Lee put together.
Comments or questions from the board?
I just appreciate going back and checking.
And I think you and I did have a conversation with Steve at
right.
A point in time. And the motion on the floor is board policy 5.305, family and medical leave, a second reading. All those in favor of adopting signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Next on the agenda is FY16 budget transfer number 5, transfer of funds, second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend the approval of a $30,000 budget transfer as detailed on the attached information from the Special Education Department. These changes do not impact the overall appropriation approved by the city and requires no action of City Council.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Mr. Eby. It's been one of those days. Questions? All those in favor of approving FY budget transfer number five, FY 16 budget transfer number five, transfer of funds on second reading, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda, item C, under items for action, new course proposals for Oak Ridge High School for 2016-2017 school year.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the proposed new courses for Oak Ridge High School for the 16-17 school year. The proposed course descriptions are attached.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchardt.
I'd like to ask Mr. Scott to come up and kind of give us a brief overview. I'm very excited about what comes attached to this line item, but I'll let Mr. Scott kind of share some of his information on these courses.
All right, every year we have a few courses that come into play that we add. Some are simply new courses that the state has allowed. Others are a part of our school vision and improvement plan. This particular year we have been very focused under Mr. Martin's leadership to continue to work toward Key 7. So the first course that you'll see there is, sorry, usually my baritone will carry, but I've got a bit of a cold. I've got an extra one. Yep, thank you, Mr. Lay. the first course on your list is speech communications. As many of us know, for our students who attend either a two-year school or a four-year school, speech is one of those universal courses that you have to take as a part of your undergraduate education. Being able to offer that course is a clear benefit for our students to be able to accrue that credit prior to leaving high school, and it also gets them a jump start when they get to college. The second course on the list is a brand new AP course from College Board on computer programming. Again, as we all know, the new bilingual is English and computer programming. And this particular course is a great introductory course. Not only can a student accrue college credit for it, but it is going to provide them a really good foundation to move into more Java-based programming, and then whether that they move from there into other programming languages, that base of skills is going to be well set. So we're quite excited about that brand new course from College Board for this school year. We also have a computer systems course. It's on your second page. And it's an internship that we have done in collaboration with our IT department, where a student is able to work in our school building with one of our technicians. They're working on live problems. This is going to not only provide us an advantage as we progress toward one-to-one, but also for the students who participate can receive an A-plus certification. And that's an A-plus certification before they leave high school. That's something that they can take in their hand and go, if they choose, into immediate high-quality employment. The Welding 4 course is also new this year. It is a course designed for students who have achieved a basic certification in welding, where they'll be working with other students as mentors and then continuing to refine their skills with or inside of our welding program. Again, our welders, we have welders who are leaving right now to earn $60,000 a year. So it is a fantastic opportunity for those students, and it's going to complete that progression into a four-year cycle for a student who wants to pursue that. The next course is AP, or is a post-AP course in organic chemistry. And this is a very unique opportunity for our students. We've done this in collaboration with Rhone State. Diane Ward, the vice president there, has played a crucial part in that, as well as Dr. Borchers and Mr. Martin McDonald. The course will be for students who have already completed AP Chemistry, which for any of you who have taken it is no easy jaunt through the woods. Organic chemistry is one of the predominant weed out classes in college. There are universities that run it on a bell curve. There are also some that have less than 50% passing. Typically, when I talk to STEM majors, it's not did you have organic chemistry, but how many times did you take organic chemistry? So being able to offer that to our students who are interested in a field in chemicals while they're in high school in a small setting with all the other structures and the supports of their parents in place is a fantastic opportunity for them. But it is a very unique course. They will have to leave campus for their laboratories, primarily because we don't have all of the equipment. Plus, our science teachers have informed us about how bad the material smells at times. And then on the next page, you'll see current courses that we already have in place that we have through a partnership with Rhone State. We are offering as a dual enrollment opportunity for our students. They include Algebra 3 trigonometry, which will transfer as college algebra, pre-calculus, which transfers as the same, as well as calculus 1. We have a new geology course this year. We're quite excited about that. Again, for students who are not a STEM major, but are in liberal arts or humanities, most students have to have a laboratory science. Geology is one of the more common that college students take. Being able to have access to that while in high school is a great jump start for those students. And then we also are now offering dual enrollment in our world language programs. Our French 4 and Spanish 4 are both taught at the college level of beginning French and Spanish, and our AP Spanish and French are taught at the intermediate level. And we will now have an opportunity to offer students the choice of being able to, at the AP level, of taking the exam or having dual enrollment, whichever fits best, or for some students, both. And at the 4 level, having a college credit attached allows a student who did not have the opportunity to attend Oak Ridge Middle Schools and have French or Spanish at the middle school to be able to progress through a world language and earn college credit before exiting high school. So it's a fantastic opportunity for our students, and hopefully will encourage students to continue the other bilingual pathway.
Ms. Agle.
I have two questions. One, for the organic chemistry course, will that be set at a time of day where they're leaving for their lab after school, or would they just be allowed to miss classes?
We'll schedule the course for 8th period.
Okay.
So it'll be at the end of the day. Their instructor is going to come to us, and on Fridays, currently Rhone State runs a 4-day week, for scheduled courses, instructional courses. Fridays in their science department is laboratory day.
Okay.
Those labs are typically a 3-hour lab, so they'll receive direct instruction during the week, and then on Friday they'll leave after 7th period, go to Rhone State, at which point they will complete their laboratory. So it'll take them into the afternoon on Fridays, and that's something that a student, one, we're being very, very, we're communicating clearly about that. But if a student wants that opportunity, you know, they'll take their Friday afternoon.
It's a great opportunity. To be able to do that in high school is unheard of. My other question, though, is on the list of dual enrollment courses, what we used to call Calc BC, which mm-hmm. was really Calc 3, Differential Equations and Linear Algebra, is no longer on this list. Do we no longer offer that course?
So Calculus 2 and 3, which is DiffQ, Multivariable Calculus, and Linear Algebra, we still offer. Okay. This list is for any new okay. offerings. So currently we still have that dual enrollment with Tennessee Tech, and it's a total of 10 hours of college credit for the students who complete that course sequence, which means with the Calculus BC, they can come out of high school with 16 credits in math.
Which equals, at the University of Tennessee, all the math required for an engineering degree?
Yes.
Mr. Eby.
And just a couple of comments and questions. So if I look here, then the current course, we're adding a dual enrollment option on Calc AB. We did not have Calc AB as a dual enrollment option before. It was just AP.
That is correct. And it's really something we're exploring. We began that pilot a few years ago with AP Art Studio with ceramics, where students were basically taking the same course, and they had the option of enrolling as a dual enrollment with their own state or putting together an AP portfolio. Same students, same classroom, two different avenues. So for Calculus AB, it is the same curriculum. We'll still run a College Board curriculum in collaboration with Rhone State, and a student can choose to dual enroll. They can choose not to and take the AP exam, or they can choose to do both, which may be an option for many students because it allows them flexibility on where they may choose to go for college.
And on the dual enrollment, what colleges do we have dual enrollment programs with? Or
currently we have two. We have a dual enrollment with Tennessee Tech University, and then we have now academic dual enrollment with Rhone State Community College, and then we have additional technical courses that are dual enrolled with Pellissippi Community College.
Have we considered, or what does it take to get University of Tennessee, since it's so nearby, or what would it take to have a dual enrollment there, or is that out of the question?
We all need to look to the sky, put our hands together. I mean, right now UT had a dual enrollment office back in the 90s, mm-hmm. and to the turn of the century, they shut it down. They have recently begun to have dual enrollment again for students, but they're running it quite differently. They're having students enroll in UT and then spend part of their day on the university campus to attend their courses. So right now, as we're beginning to open this road for students to have more opportunities, Rhone State offers us affords us being able to teach the courses on our campus, which UT does not.
And are there any dual enrollment classes that we have with Rhone State that would not be accepted by the University of Tennessee?
It's a great question. There's three criteria essentially for a dual enrollment class, one of which is it needs to be able to transfer. So if it's an academic-oriented course, then it needs to be able to transfer to UT and to the Board of Regents universities. So every course that we have listed here is a part of the transfer agreement. So it will go not only to UT, but it will also go to Tennessee Tech, MTSU, ETSU, then all of our other dual enrollment have to directly align with a pathway, whether that be through TCAT or through a community college that goes toward a certification or a job that's going to be awaiting a student after that.
Let me say that I really think you've done a great job in selecting the classes that you're offering, because if I look at this, like the AP, the dual enrollment speech communication, that's essentially open to anybody with an ACT score of 19. So if they're going to go to college, I mean that. And then AP computer programming is to anybody that's got Algebra 1. Then you have your welding, your certification program, and also your A+. So that provides opportunities for those going through the technology route, and then organic chemistry for those who want to really get into it. So I think you've done a great job. We hear a lot about only looking after the advanced students or not looking after the average students. I think you've done a great job of providing every student with a great opportunity to do a dual enrollment class. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. McLean.
I wondered, we have our high school teachers teaching all of these classes with the exception of the organic chemistry?
Yes, ma'am.
Excellent. Okay. My other question is, this speech class is just a semester-long class. Mm-hmm. What would the typical student take the other semester?
Yeah. It'll actually work very well for many seniors. Most seniors' four-year plans have economics as a part of their senior year. So a student could do a communications class or a speech class, and then on the other side they could take their economics. Many of our seniors also will choose to take Wellness B their senior year. So that's another semester course that can go on the other side of that.
Mm-hmm. Other questions or comments? Thank you.
Okay.
The motion is to approve new courses for Oak Ridge High School for the 2016-2017 school year. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. From there, we'll move to items for information. Next, or the first under items for information, balanced literacy. Dr. Borges.
I'm going to ask Dr. Beckendorf to introduce this presentation.
I would like to introduce Dr. Kelly Williams and Ms. Lynn Chaplinsky. Kelly is the Oak Ridge Schools Literacy Coordinator. And Kelly is the Oak Ridge Schools Literacy Coordinator, and Lynn is half-time reading coordinator for grades K through 6 and half-time reading specialist at Woodland Elementary School. And they are here to give a presentation about balanced literacy that I think everyone will find informative. You'll also see some other brilliant ladies in the audience who are reading specialists. If you're a reading specialist, could you just raise your hand, please? Thank you so much for coming. So we also have a bunch of reading specialists in our schools who also help promote excellence in reading instruction. So I'm looking forward to the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy. And yes, thank you for spending some extra time today after working with students to join us, reading specialists. We're here to talk to you tonight because we want to give you a little more information about what exactly is going on with literacy in Oak Ridge schools. What is our climate right now? Our goal is to paint that picture for you and talk to you about some action steps that we have in place that we've been working diligently on. And those action steps are in light of some current challenges that we face. So I know that many of you are already familiar with our keys, and we are very excited that both key number one and key number three speak to our department. And the value of having these very clear and specific district goals, the keys, is that we can align our resources and we can align our initiatives with some database decisions. So we're very happy to have these keys to kind of guide us as we make our plans for literacy. And on to the data, where we make our decisions. According to our data, we have some work to do. Our growth in reading with our state testing is not currently where we would like it to be. So I want to talk to you about a few of the challenges that we are facing. And we took a little time to dig deeper and take a look at what's going on in all of our schools so that we could find some possible solutions in light of this data. You can see on this graph that the percent of students who score proficient on the state reading test at the third grade level has declined for us in Oak Ridge. This negative trend has really prompted us to examine what are the factors that are contributing to this decline. One of the primary factors we know is the rate at which our students in poverty is increasing in Oak Ridge schools. So this is a very telling graph. You can see the growth. The top line shows the growth for the state of Tennessee, and you can see how quickly we are gaining on the state here in Oak Ridge. And to further magnify that, if you look at just our elementary schools, climbing even faster and higher. So we know that students in poverty also create challenges in literacy. And we're working with teachers, and we're working to find solutions. And how do we serve these students? Because not only do we have to serve these students during the school day, we have to figure out how to provide the supports outside of school. An additional challenge that we have, in addition to our poverty, is our changing landscape from the state of education. Our Common Core standards are in the process of changing. In fact, we've changed standards over 4 times in the last 15 years. So the standards that we are currently using are under review. There's a possibility that we will have additional changes to our standards that will not go fully into place until the 2017-2018 school year. So we have constantly changing standards, but our teachers have responded very well to this. Over the last few years, when the state has let us know, well, we're moving to Common Core standards, we jumped on board. It started in the elementary schools, and we began to study these standards. And what are we going to have to do because these standards are changing? And these are the primary instructional shifts that came about because of our standards change. And these are positive. We needed more rigorous standards in the state of Tennessee, but we also need to be respectful of the time it takes to make these kinds of broad changes, especially when we have a lot of other complex issues going on. If you think back to your elementary education and compare that with your own children's reading education, and then compare that with the students who are coming into kindergarten, first and second grade today, it's a very different picture. Today, our students in kindergarten, first, second, third, and fourth grade spend much, much, much more time in nonfiction text. The rigor and complexity of that text has dramatically changed. So what you are reading at the end of third and fourth grade, we're asking students to do at a very, very younger age, ready or not. And we're also asking them to do some very complex thinking tasks and writing tasks to accompany that. So not only do they have to read and comprehend nonfiction text, but they also have to use evidence from that text to support their speaking and their writing. And we have regular practice in text that is generally above what they're used to reading, their reading level. So in light of all of these challenges, we have met at the district level, and we've had opportunities to meet with principals, and we've developed a couple of key areas of focus for Oak Ridge Schools. These are the three areas in our Key One initiative. The first one is to improve Tier One reading instruction for all students. Tier One simply means the instruction that all students receive. Because of Response to Intervention, which is a state of initiative, we also provide opportunities for students to receive additional intervention around reading. But what we wanted to look at in order to improve our reading situation is we want to look at what's happening for all students each day. And Lynn's going to talk to you in just a moment a little more about what that looks like in the classroom. We also are examining our professional development, and we are trying to focus our professional development on our specific literacy needs related to data. So we have already provided some opportunities and been able to implement some new tools related to literacy. And then we have several more coming in the future. And then the third piece of this plan is to involve our community. And we've had some exciting developments and been working very hard on applying for some additional grant funding and other opportunities to get our community involved. Because like I said earlier, we know that in order to support these students in poverty and the rising, the increasing population of these students in poverty, we've got to find ways to just to support them outside of our general school day as well. All right, I'm going to let Lynn talk to you about more about balanced literacy, which is that tier one instruction that all Oak Ridge students receive.
So Oak Ridge Schools is a balanced literacy district. And what does that really mean? And how does it translate into practice? And what does balanced literacy reading instruction look like in an Oak Ridge elementary classroom? So I thought it might first be useful to look at what balanced literacy is not. It isn't a commercial program or a set of standards or a curriculum. It is not represented by a state or federally mandated set of policies, and it isn't a particularly new initiative in Oak Ridge, such as, say, Access Oak Ridge. Rather, balanced literacy is a philosophy or a set of beliefs about the acquisition of the reading process. A way to think of it is, what do we think students need in order to become highly proficient readers, and what does the research indicate? So balanced literacy is often referred to as a meaning first or a constructivist approach. So from the very beginning, reading is viewed as a complex, message-getting, problem-solving activity. Reading and writing are thinking. Effective reading instruction depends on a highly knowledgeable, responsive teacher who assesses what a student knows and then uses a range of carefully selected materials and activities to structure literacy interactions that move children to higher levels of understanding. So what would be a few of perhaps the more visible hallmarks of a balanced literacy approach? One would be the use of a formative assessment that yields in-depth, individualized information about a child's current processing on text, where they are in their reading process and acquisition, and their text reading level. For instance, like beginning third grade, end of third grade. We currently use a Fountas and Pinnell benchmark assessment. We've used several others. We feel good about the one we use because of its strong emphasis on comprehension. With the new Common Core expectations, this seems really timely and appropriate, and we feel like it's one of the better that's available right now. Also, as opposed to using just one set of materials or strict adherence to a program, there's an emphasis on teacher expertise and professional learning. And I was interested, in light of Ms. Marshall's comments about the Oak Ridge High School teachers, the research is really solid in that the most important in-school factor affecting student achievement is the quality of their instruction, their teacher's knowledge. And then that variety of materials we talked about is going to be used across a range of instructional settings. So if you look at, on the reading workshop side of this diagram, and the bright green handout also has this chart on it, we would see students in during, say, an hour reader workshop. They would typically be working for perhaps the first 10 minutes or so in whole group setting. And it's in the whole group setting that everybody is going to be able to access the complex text that Kelly was mentioning, a text that in difficulty has been increasing over the past few years and its expectations at each grade level. Even students that are below grade level are going to be able to access or be exposed to this text because they're going to be involved in shared reading activities, for example, a whole group novel study. And so the whole group is going to reflect the highest level of teacher support to the students. And so all students are going to be hearing, for example, more complex plot lines, more advanced vocabulary and grammatical structure, and so on. Then in small group settings, such as guided reading, students are going to be working right at their instructional zone. They're going to be able to access most of the text independently, but there's going to be just the right amount of challenge. What is that student ready to do, and they're almost ready to do on their own, with just a little bit of instructional support to lift them. And then finally, one-to-one or individual would involve occasionally one-to-one conferring with the teacher. The teacher might be listening to them read, assessing their accuracy or their fluency or their comprehension. At the same time, also, we know that kids need a large volume of easy or independent reading in order to become proficient readers. So we want them to be reading a lot on their own, both in school and out. Interestingly enough, there's a nice little collection of studies on effective teachers, and exemplary teachers tend to spend more of their time in small group and side by side or individual conferring than they do in the whole group one size fits all instruction. So what does balanced literacy look like, say at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning? It's usually structured as a reader's workshop, writer's workshop. One thing I wanted to point out on this slide is that there is word work, whether that be phonics or vocabulary or some other type of word study. It is explicitly taught. So a balanced literacy approach does include systematic and explicit phonics word work or word study. But that item knowledge is always done in the service or the context of authentic reading and writing. So if we go inside that reader's workshop, say in a second grade classroom, this is what that hour might look like. You might see whole group shared reading, where the teacher's reading aloud, maybe a chapter in the next whole class novel study. Everybody else has a copy and is following along. That might be followed up with a mini lesson based on that passage that might have something to do with making predictions or inferences, something that the author is telling us but isn't directly stating. And then children would take their independent activities, reading on their own, continuing to work on word work out of that novel study, writing in their journals, and the teacher might see several small groups and meet with them during that time. There might even be time to confer one-on-one with one student, and then the final wrap-up of the hour might include just a very short sharing. She might notice somebody writing in their journal something about making predictions that was a good follow-up to the mini lesson, and take people back around to that to share that student's work. Kelly and I are now going to describe some of our current efforts to build on and enhance our instruction in Oak Ridge schools in face of some of the challenges that we've been talking about. But before we do, I just wanted to say that given the new expectations of the Common Core, where young children are expected to read with stamina, maybe several documents, and then critically analyze them and synthesize that information together and write in response to that, we feel very good about maintaining our constructivist or meaning-based approach to teaching reading. We think it makes good sense. So we have a number of steps currently in place, with more planned to come, to address some of our challenges. I'm going to highlight just a few on this slide, and then I'll let Kelly speak to a few. You'll notice one of them, one thing we're working on is plans to expand a summer reading program. If we think about the changing demographics of the Oak Ridge schools, summer reading setback is a really interesting phenomenon, and it's a very hot area of reading instruction and research right now. We know that low SES students arrive at kindergarten typically about 6 months behind their peers, middle class peers. During the school year, we make about the same amount of progress with both of those groups. But when we come to breaks, specifically, usually the summer, the low socioeconomic status students tend to fall back 3 or 4 months, while the middle class students maintain their progress, maintain what they've achieved, or even make modest gains. Then we go to the next year, the same thing happens, and what they find is by fifth grade, low SES students have about a 2.5 to 3.5 year gap below their peers in reading achievement, and most of that can be accounted for by summer setback. So for the past probably 8 or 9 years, there's been a building body of interest, research, people doing lots of different kinds of models to address summer reading setback. It's one of the few out-of-school factors that in-school programs and staff can have some effect on, which is what's so interesting about it and rewarding. And so that's one area where we're working on building on some efforts. Linden experimented with a summer bookmobile last year, and several of the other schools over the past 6-8 years have sent home books with students over the summer and specifically tried to target particular groups. So we're hoping to access some grant money and build on that and involve our community with that as well. Want to say anything more about anything on this?
What I would like to emphasize is that although we want to improve, definitely we have many goals for improvement, we have teachers that are excellent reading teachers that are working very hard, and they're working with students who are coming into school and show up 1 week and then don't show up the next week. It's a complex issue, and we have people working very hard right now, and I love what I see when I go into classrooms, and I know that teachers are making a difference, and I'm excited that we're going to start to have tests that actually align with the standards that we're using and that we've worked so hard to learn and implement and improve. So I hope that, again, it will take time. It is complex, but I hope that our efforts begin to show, and we're going to continue to work and do some of these things. We've done tons of really successful intervention training even at the middle school level, so we don't just stop at our literacy efforts at the elementary level. Secondary students who are struggling readers, it becomes more and more difficult as they go higher each year. So we are definitely focused on their intervention needs. We are focused on vocabulary throughout all levels, elementary and secondary, and it's been really exciting to see the different literacy departments in each school take on academic vocabulary and even the things within vocabulary that we know will help our students who don't have lots of conversation in their homes after school. So we want you to know that we're aware. We're aware of these challenges, and we want you to also know that along with our challenges, we have a lot of really great things in place right now. We hope that you'll take some opportunities to visit reading classrooms and ask our reading specialists, who are amazing experts, about the kind of work that they do with students on a daily basis and the kind of students that they see. They contribute wonderful things to the not just the students, but the teachers in their buildings as well.
Thank you. Some questions. How many reading specialists do we have across the system?
We currently have 10. One at Jefferson Middle School, and the rest are at the elementary level. Many of those, at least half, would be part-time.
Half of the 10 would be part-time, approximately?
About five? Yeah, I think that's right.
This might be, without my notes on it, worth adding to our presentation.
Will do.
Thank you.
Got it.
And just to echo your comments, and one of the things that the commissioner, if I remember correctly, when she was here, one of the things she said was, you know, we're changing again. Maybe this will be the last time we change for a while. And the possibility exists that through this next testing phase, you could see a decline in the scores again. That in itself begins to be a difficult situation for educators to explain. And I know I'm not telling you something you don't already know. But if we can ever get on a level playing field and have the time to deal with these issues and have a plan, then we would hope that the result would be progress. If it's not, then we've got to back up and say, this isn't working, we're going to have to do something different. But we do have a plan. If we can get that level playing field, I do know our teachers are working extremely hard. They are probably get more frustrated than the kids themselves get when they're not seeing that success. So we've got what we need, and it's just a matter of sticking with it and letting it take us forward. It is different. Used to, back in my time, you would improve your reading without being in school. That just doesn't happen like that today. And you pointed that out. You've got to be there, and somebody has to be paying attention to it, or you're not going to improve. And that improvement is while you're in school when you go home. I just think back. It's probably all of us right here, this table did. At night, as our kids were growing up, we read to them. Probably just don't find that as much now. And I'm not talking about just kids in an economic disadvantage. I'm talking about kids that end up being your good students throughout their lifetime. So it's a challenge, and I personally appreciate your willingness to accept this challenge and come forward with a way to resolve what we have. Thank you. Mr. Eby.
Yeah, this is clearly a difficult situation, and let me first say that I truly appreciate your honesty in presenting the data, and I think it's important. We got to know where we are before we know where we're going to go, and the data is what it is. I'll say this, though, is that when we talk about that our socioeconomic levels are growing faster than the state average, granted, that's the case, but we are still below what the state average is in socioeconomic status for the free and reduced lunch. And our data, if I read it correctly, said that the third grade that we got was below the state average. So I think we got to be honest about that, and we got to get that elephant in the room that says, for some reason, our data is not where it ought to be. And I appreciate what you're doing, and I think you'll get the support of this board that we do everything that we can, and I'm glad to see community involvement. One thing I didn't see on this was intercession period. Is that an area that we can continue to help? But as we all said, the key to these seven keys is the very first key. And we have got to put everything we can put to help these children get reading at grade level, grade three. We all get a lot of calls from people, comments from people. I think this is a very, very serious situation in Oak Ridge. And I think that we've got the right approach. I don't want to go off and say, well, we're not testing the right data and all that. Neither is any other school systems. The data is what we have is the same data the other school systems have. We've got to put the focus on that. We have, as a board, have to give you the support that you can allow you to do the job, and then you've got to go out and do it. And I think you're off to a good start. Thank you.
Ms. McLean.
On February 3rd, the Focus on Education will be hosting these two professionals. We'll be talking more about this topic.
And David, I know you run that a lot, but maybe this would be a good one to run even more. Anyone else? Thank you, ladies. Oh, yes, yes, Dr. Beckendorf.
I just want to say thank you to Kelly, to Lynn, and also to the reading specialists who work with children who are struggling every single day. I'd also like to thank the teachers who are out there really making efforts every day with kids. And I think that sometimes when we have a changing environment, and you're right, Mr. Eby, it's changing for everybody in the state, but it is still a challenge. And I think that in a changing environment, it can be very frustrating. It's frustrating for teachers, it's frustrating for students, it's frustrating for families. And I think sometimes we need to acknowledge just the great efforts and work and improvements that we see in our children. I see kindergartners writing, you know, they're writing books. And it's incredible, some of the things that we have happening in our schools. And I do want to thank everyone, because sometimes when the community comments are all negative, that can be very discouraging. And we need to take the positive momentum we have in our schools and move forward as we walk into this, again, new testing environment this year. And just build on the successes that we have, acknowledge the challenges that we have, but not let those challenges discourage us from what we know is right.
Thank you.
Next, under items for information, Supervisor of Communications, Progress, and Data. Dr. Borges.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to invite Ms. Holly Cross up and give us a brief presentation on some great things that have been happening in her half of her role. I don't know if you can divide it perfectly in half, but half of her role of Supervisor of Communications. But I think you're going to see some great things here, and we continue to build on some successes and have a plan forward.
Had that presentation up. That. Okay. And then my PowerPoint was up, and then something else came up. That wasn't it. Had this plug and play. I don't know what happened, but anyway. So as I have been embarking on this new role as a communications supervisor, I started digging into the analytics of our Twitter and Facebook pages to see what it is that our audience really wants to read about. So in a few words, STEM, students, service, and staff are their favorite topics. And I had to add snow. That changed from the original presentation. And in a single word, our stakeholders really like to read about success. So I plan to give you a snapshot of what those successes look like and what it is that our readers really like to see. In the first month that I was doing this, it was September, and our top hit was this tour that Chris Ottinger's class took as a field trip to the Roan State Mechatronics Lab in Clinton. And that got 1,800 hits. And that was really our top, and the rest of them had about 1,000. We had David Center and Simon Mason were Siemens semifinalists. And the girl with a pearl earring, I actually tweeted out a link to, you can actually watch that be drawn by the artist in a frame by frame. Very fascinating. And then there was Laura McLean and Keith Fillar visited the Access Oak Ridge Progress. And so we started advertising about then for our one-to-one initiative, and that got a lot of attention. This is what it looks like on a graph. You can see that top one was 1,800, and the rest of them were about 1,000 hits. And then the next month, the lowest of the high was 1,000, and then we started getting up to 4,500 hits. So the first one was the Bahamas trip for the basketball team. That was a very popular tweet. And of course, T. Higgins being Mr. Football was very popular. And then at Robertsville, we did the, and at Jefferson, but I put the picture from Robertsville because that was the tweet that got the most attention. As they did their one-to-one rollout, and the students and the parents were all very excited about that. Our Oak Ridge High School health science students got their brand new scrubs and they sported those. And that's the one that really got my attention because all of a sudden I had this tweet that got a whole lot of attention. I thought, what is it about this tweet? And I realized it's about students, and that's who our Twitter audience largely is. So I started thinking, you know, more of these tweets have something to do with students. Of course, when they cared and grew their hair, Dr. Borchers and Mr. Dodson got a lot of attention for the United Way campaign. And Alana, or Andy Jaldersma, wrote a letter to the governor imploring him to rethink his decision about the Syrian refugees. And that got a lot of media attention. That's what this looks like on the graph. Of course, those first two were the basketball tournament. They swept that tournament, which was pretty exciting, and then the Tennessee Mr. Football contest. All right, and a month later, this was December, and Mr. Center got surprised at a faculty meeting for being the Star 102.1 Teacher of the Month, and Becky Hanover, one of his students, actually nominated him for that. And then Chris Layton was highlighted by Discovery Education for being a passionate teacher, and it talked about his family. It was a really touching article. And then I call the next one Maria Moss Elfler. Her name is Moss Elfler, but she was wearing an elf shirt, and everybody loved that tweet. And then I took one of Dave Kolodny's students to McDonald's and gave an award called a Neighborhoodie Award, and a declaration of awesome for Miss T, who works at McDonald's. If you've ever encountered her, she's always friendly, she's always happy, she's always wonderful. And one day when I walked in there, she said, I love you. I just love everybody. In fact, I think I have a love problem. it reached my heart, and I thought, we've got to do something for this lady. So Dave and I have talked about doing some more of these neighborhoodie awards to recognize people. It was inspired by a kid president, Robbie Novak, who lives in Henderson, Tennessee, who pretends he's the president of the United States. And he has great ideas for encouraging people. So we followed suit on that one. Got lots of attention. The next one was the NASA CubeSat project by Todd Livesey's class at Robertsville. A tip on that one, I talked about AutoCAD, Arduino boards, and servo motors, and tagged all of those companies, and they all, of course, liked that tweet as well. And then Dr. McQueen came here and visited three of our schools and then had a roundtable discussion with our teachers. And Richard Martin was nominated for the Roan State Dual Enrollment Student of the Month from his mechatronics class. And Mr. Centers was 4,000 impressions. And the data looked about like that for those as well. Mr. Centers was the top. As far as what has happened and why our traffic has increased with Twitter visits, largely it has to do with number of tweets put out there. So in September, there were 32. In December, there were 132. And we're not quite at the end of the month of January, and they're at about 100 right now. So more tweets gets more traffic. The profile visits increase, and Mr. Snowman, I have to say, has contributed a lot to the number of visits that we've had in social media. Very interesting weekend I had. So the Twitter impressions went from September, you can see the spike that went through December and then that January one. I had to add that one in. That wasn't in your original presentation because the snow changed everything. So you can see on the new followers, we were adding, 60, 30, around in there, and all of a sudden another 132 new followers. So I don't take credit for acts of God. And then the mentions and tweets that were linked to us, the mentions increased fairly steadily and then a big spike with the snow. And the tweets linking to us, interestingly, really didn't have anything to do with the snow. So we can take credit for those. Those went from a 0 to 2 and then to 8, and then it was 9 with the snow. So that one was legitimately not snow. Mr. Snowman got 7,400 hits when we called off school for snow. The Facebook themes are very much the same for obvious reasons, except that, like I said, our Twitter audience is largely students. Our Facebook audience is largely parents. There's some mixture there, but that's a general rule. That's true. So our first, our 1,000 plus impressions, our top hits on Facebook were Thomas Colburn, who Paige Marshall mentioned earlier. He was a semi-finalist at that time, and now he is actually a Science Talent Search finalist, which he is one of 40 in the nation. That is a big deal. Oak Ridge High School was in the top 10 best high schools in the state, according to that NISH K-12 survey. Mr. Dodson and Naomi were talking about how well we did in the United Way campaign. And then Jefferson Middle School students started using their devices, and Jennifer Gregory was a presenter at Tennessee Tech talking about her love for teaching with other teachers. Ms. T got lots of attention also on Facebook. And the one that just blew my mind, and this was phenomenal, is Garfield Adams got 16,000 impressions. I've not seen anything else like this. I'm like, what is it, Garfield? That was two times as much as snow. Snow was two times as much as T. Higgins. And it was, whatever, we're glad we have him. What's that?
He's personable.
He's very personable. And somebody mentioned he does kind of look like GQ there.
He does.
Anyway, another really exciting piece that I am particularly excited about, because this is a grant that I've been working on. Five of the seven Microsoft Office specialists, top finalists right now in the state, are from Oak Ridge High School. There are seven in the state. Five of them are from Oak Ridge High School. Just want to reiterate that. That's pretty exciting to us. And they're signing up to get to go to the competition in Orlando. So, and then all four of our elementary schools were also in the top 50 elementary schools in the state in the NISH K-12 survey as well. So I just did these graphs so you could see visually how we've grown. We weren't doing a whole lot with Facebook at first, and so that we get to use kind of a zero point on that, but you can see how the engagement, which is the number of engaged users from September 1st to the present, has gone from 0 to 3,000. You can see the number of articles actually reaching users went from 0 to almost 30,000. And the impressions, which simply means the number of articles who actually show up in the user feed, went from 0 to almost 120,000. So our page likes are actually the followers on Facebook, and we had lots of likes, but we weren't really actually using the page much. So we started at 850, 870, and by New Year, the roll around of the new year, we were at about 1,000, at which point I had a nice celebration with our followers with fireworks. And then in comes Mr. Snowman again. And today we're actually up to 1,140 at least. So we're thankful for funny little things that happen that increase communication. And I'm trying to be more methodical about it, but I'll take the extra hits this way as well. So that's what I have. Thank you for your time.
Well, again, thank you. This is a fledgling beginning for us, right?
It is.
We have a lot of room for growth, a lot that we can yet do, communicating the good things and the things that are going on in Oak Ridge Schools. Personally, this is where I'd hoped we would get a start and get moving in that direction. And Holly, thank you, because without your involvement in getting this moving, it would not have happened. So thank you very much for what you do. Questions or comments from the board? Yes, good stuff. Thank you. Next, Dreambox Learning at Linden Elementary. Dr. Borchers.
I'm making eye contact with Roger here. Roger, would you like to introduce this segment? And maybe Dr. Beckendorf can tag team after you're done.
Thank you. We have, with our Dreambox subscription, we have a couple of high-end users to present to you tonight from Linden. And, of course, I'm not going to steal any of their thunder. I'm just going to introduce them. Amy Fuquay is a second-grade teacher at Linden, and Heather Jenkins teaches third grade.
Needless to say, Ms. Fuquay and I were very excited to talk to you tonight about Dreambox. As a parent and teacher, I have seen the benefits of the use of Dreambox not only in my classroom, but at home with my own second grader. So we're going to look at some of the uses for Dreambox, how we use it in the classroom, and then we're really excited to share with you some of the data that we have gathered using Dreambox.
Okay, so I came last January to talk about how I was using it within my classroom. So I'm going to go back over that just a little bit to make sure you know how that is being used. It is a very highly useful tool that right now is being used within my classroom and lots of other classrooms at Linden for individual math groupings, for goal setting, and we also look at the data when we're doing our RTI meetings and making plans for those interventions for students. During the individualized instruction, they were here speaking about how our reading instruction goes, and our math instruction follows some of that same pattern where we have our whole group math time for all students, and then we're able to work in small groups with students trying to meet their individual needs. And Dreambox is one of those choices we can use during that small group time. Goal setting, at Linden, goal setting is a pretty big deal. And so one of the items we use for goal setting is Dreambox, the amount of lessons they complete, the growth that they have. It really just depends on the teacher as to how they're using it for goal setting, but it really does keep the kids motivated to be able to use that resource in the classroom. And you know, it's always great to get some kind of reward for meeting a goal. And then during our monthly RTI meetings, and then when we look at the RTI data within our PLC teams, Dreambox really does give us some good information to look at. It can be used during those meetings. We can bring in graphs from Dreambox to be able to look and see where students are struggling and to plan for interventions. It really gives us another resource other than just AIMSWeb to be able to look at where skills might be lacking.
Your next question might be, what is the big picture? How does it relate to the vision and goals that we have for Oak Ridge Schools? I was sharing with Dr. Beckendorf earlier, I've had the privilege of serving this year on the continuous improvement team that meets monthly for the Oak Ridge Schools. And I think I could probably recite to you the seven keys that we have for college and career readiness. And where we get excited about these keys, specifically talking about number two, and how this key directly lines up with DreamBox and the success that we see from our students. At Linden this year, actually looking at the TCAP data from last year, the TCAP data for our third grade students in DreamBox lined up directly at a level four, in which we had for our TCAP data also. So that was very exciting to see the correlation between the TCAP data and the DreamBox data that we had for our third grade students. When we talk about closing gaps in education, DreamBox focuses specifically on the student needs, and it actually reaches them where they are at. So when you come into the classroom and see a student working on DreamBox, it is working at that student's level and is assessing the needs of that student. So it's very exciting to see 21 different lessons taking place within the classroom. What DreamBox provides is specific data for your students. This is just a snapshot that we took of my classroom, obviously taking off student names. What you see is the current growth. DreamBox would tell you that 100% is 1 year growth. When I get excited as an educator is when I look at growth and see that my students are already reaching that 1 year growth and possibly going higher. So that's very exciting when we think of closing those gaps and reaching those students at their instruction level. And if you have not seen students work on DreamBox, I would invite you to come to our classrooms and see that. It's very exciting. It's exciting to see the students and how they are in working toward those goals on DreamBox. Thank you.
Can I just add something really fast?
Yes.
DreamBox is a math program that they've talked about a little bit that we have specifically purchased for grades K through 4, plus some CDC classes at the secondary level. And DreamBox is special amongst many intervention programs in that there is third-party objective research that shows the impact that DreamBox has on student learning. So not paid for by DreamBox, but outside research. So it's just a fantastic program. It's very exciting to see there. I'm just going to point out a few that I see. A student who's made 153% growth at this point in the year. It's just incredible. And it's a game-based environment, so very fun for kids. Thank you, ladies. I know they're going to ask more questions, but I just wanted to clarify what DreamBox is and who we purchased it for.
Questions? Ms. Eagle?
Not really a question, but a comment. Thank you for using this, because I have watched the children use it. Worked with a couple of students that I tutor at another school. They love it. They think it's fun. And if a child thinks it's fun, you can't stop them from learning. It's wonderful.
Other comments? Mr. Abey.
I think this is a perfect example of how technology can be used in the progress that can be made. Takes great teachers to bring it out and do it, but this is a great connection between the teaching and the technology. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to add, you know, a couple of years back we were talking about devices and how the device itself doesn't make kids any smarter or increase achievement. It takes that technology and a master teacher. And I just can't thank Amy and Heather enough for being what I think is a perfect model for blended instruction. And when you take a master teacher like they are, add some of these tools, that's the kind of results you get. So Amy and Heather, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Next, we move to
before you go to financial discussion, I just want to make one comment. I know we have to do policies and all that, but these last three sections on items for discussion to me have been the most beneficial thing that we've done in this Board of Education in a long time. I appreciate everything that was brought here. It shows that we're looking at the right things, we're concentrating on the students, and we're looking on how to improve it. Thank you. Let's keep that up.
Financial report, questions? Under items for discussion, old business. Okay.
2020, where do we stand on that?
We actually had it canceled because of snow last week, but our team is actually meeting tomorrow, and we still have I've told our team that's working with me on that we have a deadline of March 3rd to have our draft KPIs for 2020. So that's still our goal. So we're meeting tomorrow morning.
If you all leave before the meeting is over, you'll have to come in early tomorrow. I know. I knew you would. New business. I'll just mention, Ms. McLean's already mentioned this. She will host Focus on Education on February the 3rd, and her guests will be our reading people. It should be very informative. Also, last week, or was it last week, you and I? Last week or the week, but last week, Ms. McLean and I dined for lunch at Robertsville Middle School. Had a great experience. Ate with a group of eighth grade students. Learned a lot from them. Had a chance to talk to the cafeteria manager and cafeteria workers. So we'll be going again soon. Our next stop is going to be Oak Ridge High School. I'll send out information on a date for that. They have one lunch period. At Oak Ridge High School, that runs from 11:26 to 12:27. So we'll try to make some arrangements to be there and join us if you can. And looking at my notes, I think we're good there. We're going to close, and I'm going to turn this over to Ms. Marshall to introduce this. I think you will enjoy.
Yeah, we may be able to gavel as this plays, Keys, because this is just sort of a fun thing. But no, in the spirit of the blizzard that wasn't over the weekend, any of you who were hoping for a snow day today, you've probably seen on social media over the last few days the teacher from Strawberry Plains, who has actually an amazing voice. If you haven't seen this, we are going to play it, at least in part. But in the spirit of hoping for snow, all you teachers out there and the rest of us too, Mary Morris from Strawberry Plains.
I've had that feeling before. Thank you all for being here tonight. We're adjourned.